Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, and joining us now in studio is Chris Woodward. Fred's already been here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So, Chris, you were telling us prior to the coming on the air that your Miami Dolphins, they have one of the best records in the NFL right now, right?
They're one of the best teams in terms of records. Kansas City's up there with them at 6-2. I think Philadelphia is 6-2 as well. A few teams are up there.
So they're playing we always identify our sports teams as our teams, mm-hmm. unless they're losing.
Yes.
At that point they become they.
Right.
They lost.
Or those bums.
Those bums. If you win, we won.
Yeah. We looked great.
We looked great. Did you see our team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? But you were telling me that the Miami Dolphins will play the Kansas City Chiefs in Germany this weekend?
Yes. This is a new thing that NFL has going. They've been playing a number of games now, sometimes two of them on the same day in London. But now the NFL is trying to broaden its appeal to other Western European markets, which is interesting. Because for those that may be new to professional sports, there's been several professional football efforts in Europe. You had the World League football back in the 80s and 90s. It came and went. And then that changed to NFL Europe. That didn't last either. But now the NFL is dead set on trying to get somebody somewhere else.
Which leads us to this, Ed. Does Ezekiel 38 and 39 cover the expansion of the NFL into Europe?
Well, let me just tell you, if American football replaces soccer, that's what we call it over here,
right?
In Europe or Mexico or anywhere else in Latin America, that's sure enough a sign of the end, because that's just never going to happen.
That's never going to happen. But Chris said he's waiting for the German announcer to pronounce what name?
Tua Tagovailoa.
That's the name of the Miami quarterback.
And I'm not being anti-German. My people come from there. But right. I would love to hear somebody try to do Tua Tagovailoa or something like that. You know, we struggle.
That's your German impression?
It is. Well, you know, my people have been here for generations. So we've lost the accent. But, yeah.
All right. So what is your first story for us today?
This one is all the more reason to be careful where you get your information from on the internet, especially for maybe homeschooling families out there that look to the internet for information on things they're trying to do. Maybe even a public school student trying to do his homework at home. I've got a Daily Mail article, and it's from yesterday, stemming from some information first published in the Wall Street Journal. Chinese tech giants Baidu and Alibaba, if I said those names correctly, no longer display the name of Israel on their maps. And this, of course, is coming from the Wall Street Journal. The online maps do show Israel's borders and cities, but the country itself is not named, in contrast to other neighboring countries. And a lot of people are upset by this, saying China is basically purging Israel and its existence from its maps.
Yeah, we talked about this briefly the last hour. So imagine, folks, if you went to Google, for example, and typed in a...
The Middle East.
Yeah. Typed in Middle East on Google or Brave or
Bing,
DuckDuckGo or something like that. Or Bing. Yeah. And then up comes a map of the Middle East and Israel's not on there. Well, that's what's happened now in China. They've removed Israel from the map of the Middle East on search engines. I don't know how exactly you do that all together, but that's what's being reported.
Yeah. And I know this is coming from China, but what happens in China doesn't often stay in China, because a lot of our companies based over here, because they want to do business in China, they are forced to bow the knee oftentimes and do things that the Chinese Communist Party wants them to do.
So who in the world is siding with Israel now on the international stage? And
Well, it's, I think, United States and I think most of the NATO countries. But you just wonder if this really is a spiritual thing that's going on. And you mentioned the point in the last hour talking about China and their Alibaba or whatever.
It is in Mississippi.
Their search engine. That why would China care about what's going on over there? So this is clearly a spiritual thing that's going on. So would we see if Israel continues to prosecute its war against Hamas, as they have given every indication that they're going to do, does some of that support in the West, official support, does it begin to waver? Now, Anthony Blinken right now, who is Jewish,
Secretary of State,
he has been very supportive of what Israel's doing. I mentioned the last hour, even Hillary Clinton said Israel's got to go in and clean out that, as you put it, that viper's nest. But what happens if this goes on for another 6 weeks or 2 months? Does the Biden administration begin to say, oh, enough's enough?
Hey, by the way, when is the does anyone here on this distinguished panel know the situation with potential funding to Israel from the United States government?
The current status?
Yeah, because it's been mentioned that the House of Representatives, I think Speaker Johnson mentioned that the House will vote on this as a standalone bill.
Yes. This just in. According to CBS News, as of an hour ago, President Biden says he will veto a standalone Israel funding bill. I just shared that link.
Okay.
Now, that's a mixture. I'm surprised to hear that, but not surprised, because I would think the Democrats and probably a sizable chunk of the Republican Party, they don't want standalone bills. This is why we have these huge omnibus spending bills. You can't hide when a vote comes up about what your views are about giving money to Israel.
Right.
You can't hide. You can't say, well, I would have voted for it, but
it's the game they always play.
It's the game they always play. So I'm surprised.
That he's been so open about it.
Yeah. If Mike Johnson gets that standalone bill to the floor, I believe Republicans would pass it.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that you'd have to be, it would be a big risk in the Senate to say, no, we're going to vote against it. I don't know what the margin would be. I would think that would pass in the Senate, and then Joe Biden is going to veto a bill sending aid over to Israel.
Yeah,
wow.
It would be interesting to see his poll numbers there, because Biden famously earlier this year put out a video saying, "Help me finish the job. Vote me in again."
Well, there's some political divisions coming. Oh, well, they're already here. In both the Democrat and the Republican Party, the Democrat Party is being split apart right now between those who support Israel and those who support Hamas, or they would say support the Palestinian cause. They might people would necessarily say I favor terrorism,
right?
But when you support Hamas, you are favoring terrorism. But they would deny that. But anyway. So there's a divide coming there that's being expressed publicly now in the Democrat Party. I don't know what the number would be, but I'm guessing 20% of Democrat voters would be pro-Hamas.
Well, we covered this week on Monday. There was a recent Gallup poll that showed that it was 46 on two different questions. 46% and then 49% of Democratic voters supported the Palestinian position.
How many? What percentage?
46 and 49%.
Well, then it's more than 20%.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's even
And that
more.
Was from Mark Thiessen, I think. I think that was the audio we had earlier in the week that he was noting the split, as you're talking about, in the Democratic Party.
Let me tell you where the split in the Republicans comes. You have people who... because you've seen it expressed in the Ukraine war. You have people who, in the Republican Party, who are for supporting the Ukrainians in their war against Russia. And then you have people who say, in the Republican Party, who say, no, we don't need to be funding foreign wars. We have no business or interest there.
Right.
And we, furthermore, we don't have the money because we don't, we're out of money. We're printing money to send to.
We're out of weapons, or our stockpile is running low.
Right. So, and then there, so that, that same division exists to a lesser extent about Israel. You're going to have some Republicans say, I love Israel, but we don't need to be sending them any money for the same reasons we don't need to be sending any money to the Ukraine. We don't need to get, quote, entangled in a foreign war.
Well, the Biden administration has tried to link support for Ukraine and support for Israel. So perhaps what the Biden administration is saying is that if it's a standalone bill of support for Israel and not simultaneously support for Ukraine, I will veto it. Maybe that is what the
probably what he's, and he wants the money to bail out the sanctuary cities, the Democrat-run sanctuary cities, which, to me, that's a non-starter. If I'm Mike Johnson or the Republicans, I'm saying, no, we're not passing a bill with funding for the Ukraine or not, or funding for Israel or not, and then throw in there, too, funding for sanctuary cities, because you've created sanctuary cities because you don't give a rip about our border.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've let millions of people in here, and now you want to give money to these cities that you've caused the problems for?
Yeah. This is where you hope and pray that he has a backbone, because Mike Johnson. Because what Democrats and their allies in the media are going to do is throw his faith back at him. They've already been mocking him for being a fundamentalist Christian, basically. And so they're going to throw his values back at him and say things like, well, don't you care about people, and don't you care about your neighbors, and doesn't the Bible tell us to love our neighbors?
I think what he's going to do is, and this is what I agree, and this is part of the fight over, it's part of why Kevin McCarthy's not around any longer as Speaker of the House, is because the games that Congress typically plays, where they have these omnibus bills, which means everything is all or nothing, throw everything in I call them ball of wax bills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what Mike Johnson is saying, nope, we're going to vote on Israel. We're going to vote, and then that's one bill. Then we're going to vote on Ukraine, and then we're going to vote on sanctuary cities, or what the Biden people are going to say, border security. That's what they're going to say.
Right.
They're not going to say, it's kind of like the reduced inflation bill. It has nothing to do with reduced inflation, but they put a nice name on it that makes it hard for people to vote against.
Right,
right.
But what I want to say is, I think that's their way to go, and people can that way. Each congressman, each senator, is on the record, thumbs up, thumbs down on each of those.
And they could actually read the bill.
And
yes.
And Mike Johnson would answer the media and say, Corey, I care about everybody. That's why I want everyone to vote on this one bill, and we'll find out just how many people care. I hope that's what he does.
Yeah. I don't want to. Do I want to open up this can of worms? I guess I'll open it up. We mentioned it briefly. I don't think it's necessarily a can of worms, but we live in a very dangerous world, and I get a little uneasy or frustrated when I see people on our side shutting down any kind of interference anywhere in the world. I say interference or support in a war effort. I'm not saying for or against Ukrainian war or Israel, but that would take a discussion in and of itself to look at those wars in particular with Israel to say, okay, we should or shouldn't do this, or we shouldn't money. I'm just saying it's a very dangerous world. For example, for those people who say to us, well, we shouldn't give Israel any money because we shouldn't get involved. We don't have the money, and that's another argument, right?
Right.
But then I say, okay, how far have you thought this thing through before you just blanket say no support? Have you thought about the Suez Canal?
Right.
Because you know how much oil and products, particularly oil, comes through from the Middle East. It comes through the Suez Canal to the United States to keep our cars going and our economy going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the Gulf of Oman, but near Iran. The South China Sea, a lot. The U.S. Navy is the guarantor of a lot of these hotspots that you could have totalitarian governments say, like Iran. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? All that Gulf, all that oil that comes from that through that Gulf, right past our country, we're shutting it down.
That's
what
I'm saying.
We're going to raise the price of oil five times.
That's what I'm saying. You just need to be careful before you buy it. It's so easy to buy into the no money for any wars anywhere around the world. We don't support that. America needs to stay out of that. An isolationist view. Who's for sending money around the world to wars,
right,
just for the, you know, heck of it? No,
right.
Nobody. But I'm just saying you can't just dismiss these strategic international concerns that are in our national interest because you're short-sighted to say no more funding of any more, war efforts. Does that make sense?
No, I think it does. And it shows how complicated the world is and how complicated foreign policy actually is, because it's very difficult to throw these blanket statements around. All right, no, we don't have money for Israel. I am opposed to the 20-year wars, you know, like we had in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That accomplished nothing.
We were in Afghanistan for half my lifetime.
Yeah, so I see the value of that other side too, but it's a complicated issue. Are we going to say to Japan, you're on your own? Are we going to say to South Korea, you're on your own? Taiwan, you're on your own? Well,
yeah, but what would that mean if they're conquered by communist,
right,
China, for example?
Right.
But what would that mean for us? So, you know, it's like people say, well, I'm against foreign aid for anybody, for any country in the world. Well, okay then. Let's just use Egypt, for example. You know what? We send a lot of money over to Egypt, we, the United States federal government. At least we have traditionally. I haven't looked at our budget for the last 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Neither have the legislators.
Bada boom. Chris just hit them. But let's just use that for example. Egypt. All right. We pay money to Egypt to help with their military, is the way I understand it. Well, their military in Egypt helps keep the peace between Egypt and Israel, for example, and the Suez Canal.
Keep the Suez Canal open.
So you might say, well, we're bribing them. Yeah, and it's working.
Yes.
Okay, and guess what? Bribery has been around since the world first started, and it works. I'm not saying it's... You know, in principle, it's right.
Well, you don't bribe judges and twist the justice system here. But you, listen, one hand washes the other. So we are going to pay you, Egypt. You keep the Suez Canal open. You keep the peace with Israel so we don't throw the whole...
What's the alternative?
Right.
I'm just using that as an example. What would be the alternative if you were to say, no more money for Egypt because... And then Egypt collapsed to the arms of the Muslim Brotherhood...
Right.
And then they seize the Suez Canal, and it shuts down the economy of the Europe and the U.S., and we get into some full-scale war over there. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
There are consequences to actions that I'm just saying be careful about signing up with people who say we need to be isolational. How do you say that
isolationist
word?
Isolationist, yeah.
Isolationist, which I'm bent in that direction like a lot of conservatives are, but you just can't dismiss – the things I've just described, because we are a world connected now. We're not by ourselves here living off the land.
Listen, the Marshall Plan in Europe after World War II, American money helped rebuild Europe after the destruction and devastation of World War II. And I've heard people say, well, we weren't being altruistic. We just didn't want Europe to fall into the hands of the communists. Okay, I'm good with that. I'm good with helping rebuild Europe and restoring democracies in Western Europe so they don't turn communist. What's the problem with that?
Yeah.
Is that not a good use
That's
of our money?
That's the long-term national security interest of the United States.
Right.
We had an example of, to Tim's point, we had an example of the backlash you get for saying no more money, because just a few months ago, and this feels like 5 years ago in this news cycle, but in August, Vivek Ramaswamy, said he was in favor of ending aid to Israel, and he opposed U.S. military force against Iran, to which a lot of people, Republican voters, were like, hold on now.
Right.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
And he ended up backtracking and taking
it back. Well, what a lot of these people don't tell you, we've also given a lot of money to the Palestinian cause.
Right.
Oh, yes. And then, then Hamas just takes it.
Right.
They don't benefit.
Right.
And builds tunnels with it.
Yeah.
And tears up water supply lines
right.
to make rocket launchers.
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday may have been the first day in my 41 years on this earth that Hillary Clinton and the people she called the basket of deplorables were in agreement on something, that being you can't do a ceasefire. Hamas is just going to, you know, rebuild and keep on attacking Israel.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I was in agreement with Hillary Clinton, but I was in agreement with what she said
there. Yeah, I shared the video. It's don't take my word for it. Go to Today's Issues Facebook page. I posted the video, which, by the way, she made those comments to CBS. It's not like obscure blog.net/whatever website. It's, you know, it's a name and news source a lot of people know. And
or you could type in lock her up. Do a Google search there. Huh? All right. So what is your next story?
Well, let's do this real quick because I want to make sure to point it out. We're talking about terrorism and national security concerns. This does not help anybody feel better about the FBI. It's an exchange yesterday between Senator Rick Scott and FBI Director Christopher Wray. There's a pregnant pause, but it's radio friendly. Clip 10.
We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration, the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago. The ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole nother level. We also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil.
Do you believe, is the United States safer from foreign terror threats today? Are we safer than when Joe Biden took office, from the day he took office?
What I would say to you is that the terror threats have elevated, but I also think there are a lot of things the country has done throughout law enforcement to be better prepared to deal with them.
That pause, that's the point. That's the reason you played that. One of the reasons you played that, because he had to really think about the answer to the question. But you know, another thing, I don't know if they got into this, was the wide open border.
Hmm.
The wide open border, where, listen, we could talk about this all day every day, because there's, when I read the news at night usually, for a little while, just to prepare for this show for the next day oftentimes, and just because I'm a news junkie. But there are, listen, there is no border any longer. Joe Biden and the Democrats have there's no border anymore. People are pouring in by the millions, have over the last couple of years, and it's increasing. And guess what? They're coming from around the world. These aren't little Mexicans only. I say little, you know, diminutive. They're usually shorter people. And with children who are poor and only looking for a better life, these are people coming from Africa and from China and from other parts of the world, mostly males, young males who can afford to travel and have the physical strength to do so from around the world. And they are just pouring into our country, and this is all because Biden and Harris and the Democrats have said, we welcome the world into our country. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you have a great afternoon.